Hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Judy Meyer.
Oh.
I guess they just turned my microphone on. My name is Judy Meyer. I'm the Principal Group Program Manager for Azure Stream Analytics from Microsoft. And I have the honor today to talk to you all about this brand new service that we just launched in Azure. Before I jump into it, some related breakout sessions that I want you all to be aware of. There is a breakout session for Azure Event Hub. Who's familiar with Azure Event Hubs here? I would highly encourage the rest of you to attend this session. I'll touch on that a little bit during this session, but definitely the Friday 2:45 session would be key for you to understand doing data ingestion for real-time analytics. So highly encourage Azure Event Hubs. We do have a instructor-led lab as well, a speed lab for Azure Stream Analytics that will be hosted on Friday at 8:30 in the morning. So again, another session for you to keep your eye out for. You can also find me as well as my co-presenters here at the Microsoft Solution Experience location, which is at the Expo Hall downstairs, under the Data Platform and Business Intelligence section. We'll be at Ask the Experts as well, so plenty of opportunities for you to understand more about the service. We do another plug. We do have a hands-on lab available as well at any point in time for you to go and give Azure Stream Analytics a try. So without further ado, introducing Azure Stream Analytics. What is this all about? A little bit of background and context before we jump into the service itself. In the past with our businesses, we've always kind of tried to do batch analytics because, you know, gaining insights into data with data at rest, parking the data inside a relational database, doing some sort of a query on top of the relational database to gain insights. Now, the time to insights there was typically pretty long, and all of us, I think, in the world of data have kind of experienced that to some degree. Now, as the big data and just the data volumes and velocity and variety has exploded, we've gotten into this notion of big data. And in big data, gaining insights into data in motion, as the events, as the data streams are happening, becomes critical. And for most of our businesses, gaining that insight into that data as close to real time as possible is what gives us that business competitive edge relative to all the others in the market. So that's where this notion around data in motion, doing real time analytics and data in motion becomes very pertinent for all of our businesses. So with that motivation, just a few thought provokers here as far as what are customers typically wanting to do when they think about real-time analytics and real-time analytics-related insights. Connected cars is a typical scenario that I think most of us today, with a lot of the cars that we drive, with the numerous sensors it has, we're already encountering some intelligent services coming and landing itself to our forefront as we drive the car. The one scenario I'll highlight here is real-time financial sales tracking. Now that we're getting into the holiday season slowly but steadily as we get into Christmas time, I'm sure all of the sales and marketing folks are going to be staying on top of how do we price the different things, different products that we bring out to the market. Wouldn't it be cool if we could kind of monitor peaks and sales peaks that happen in real time, be able to address the demands in real time, price things accurately, so that at the end of the holiday season, there's an overstock of things that's in the back room, right? So scenarios like that, as people are kind of using these, as we gain some customer data in real time, businesses have a huge need for us to track those and gain insights into them as well. So with that little bit of a background here, how do customers typically, when they want to solve the problem for real-time streaming solutions, what do they do? If I'm going to build a streaming solution today, or yesterday, well, today you have Stream Analytics, yesterday, I would go procure some hardware. I would go, I'm a software guru, I'm going to go code it up as quickly as I can. I'm going to be happy, right? I got my hardware, software, all the setups all done. And then I sit there, and once I turn on my real-time analytics pipeline, I would start noticing that, oh my goodness, I had not planned for the scale or the volume of data that's being throughput into the system. Because again, with this big data evolution and the data exploding, there's only so much hardware capacity that I had planned for. So okay, well, I break my head, I solve the scale problem somehow, and then I start thinking about, hey, when nodes go down, when failures happen, right? How resilient is my system? How well am I going to be recovering from all of these node failures? Now I go in and add more intelligence to my code to solve those problems. And then last but not least, you also want to be solving problems like monitoring and troubleshooting, because now that I've written my 1,500 lines of code, I need to go figure out if something breaks, how am I going to troubleshoot this foolproof solution that I've built for myself for real-time analytics? When use cases change, how quickly am I going to be able to adapt to that? Because of all of these complexities, typically, if I'm in a business where my insight into my data is not at all related directly to IT, I've just spent a bulk load of time even just getting a real-time analytics system up and running. And I've completely lost sight of, or I'm spending a very relatively small amount of time really solving the business problem that I want to solve. So, enter Azure Stream Analytics. So with Azure Stream Analytics, which is a real-time cloud service, you don't have to worry about any of these things. All of these things are going to be provided for you out of the box. What we are optimizing the service for is to make sure that you're able to convert all of those data streams, live events that are happening, into insights on that data with less people, less time, as cost-effective manner as possible. Okay? So with that little bit of an intro, typically for any real-time system, there are two metrics that you really want to optimize for. One is high throughput, like I mentioned with the whole big data evolution. Handling that throughput, the volume of data coming in, is going to be critical. And the second piece is optimizing to make sure that the insights are going to be derived with low latency, the end-to-end latency across the system. So from the time a data is ingested into the system to the time all the processing is done and the output is generated. There are typically three use cases or canonical scenarios that we observe for folks, businesses, thinking about creating real-time analytics on their data. The first one is dashboarding monitoring scenarios where you have telemetry and log that you want to process. There's actually a user sitting in front of a computer and kind of monitoring a dashboard as these streams are being processed and output is getting generated. The second notion is with this whole explosion of Internet of Things, where data is starting to now be born in the Internet, right? So everything is out there. Folks are wanting to combine device data, which is also part of the Internet of Things equation. They want to combine their device data with all this other data that's already available out there to combine those to create some insights real time. So most of the Internet of Things scenarios, since it is very device intensive, we do find them to be a very command and control closed loop type scenarios where a device is generating an event. There's some level of real-time processing that needs to happen within seconds or minutes. That processed data is pumped right back to the device, and the device needs to take some action. And typically it could just be, hey, this vending machine just needs to be rebooted because the temperatures are dropping too much, or maybe some firmware hardware updates. Last but not least, we also find a lot of customers wanting to do real-time blob archiving, as we call it. There's, with these volumes of data coming in, some minimal transformations to reduce the volume, to just plainly archive them, to later on use them to combine with real-time streams as potentially reference data, or to combine those with other streams that are coming in to gain insights. So these are the typical trends that we observe in the world of real-time analytics. With that, I want to move into a canonical event-driven scenario here. So this picture depicts the data flow up top. You'll see the blue arrows kind of depicting where the data flows. The first box there talks about all the different producers we already kind of touched on. Various devices, could be IP-capable or non-IP-capable applications. And more often than not, when these devices are IP-capable, they could communicate directly into the cloud. you see those arrows pointing into event hubs, or communicate through a cloud gateway or a field gateway. And that has the ability to communicate into the cloud. The ingester service, as I said, Azure Event Hubs, it is an optimized service for real-time data ingestion. So there's a lot of partitions that have been introduced to really process high throughput of data that's happening real-time. And all of that processed data, Azure Event Hub, which has just GA'd and was announced here at TechEd this week as well, is part of the Azure Service Bus model. For those of you who are familiar with event brokers and event ingesters, that's kind of the service within that, which is something that we very highly leverage when we start thinking about event processing, because you want the whole end-to-end system to be optimized for time and low latency. And if you're able to leverage an ingestion service, which is also optimized for real time, putting a processing service that's optimized for real time would really give you guys a complete end-to-end. And you'll notice from the ingest broker to the transformation layer, which is where a stream analytics sits, there is that arrow that points both ways. The reason that arrow points both ways is for those Internet of Things closed loop command and control type scenarios. Oftentimes we see customers enabling an event hub for ingestion. And since event hub uses the publisher subscriber model, those same devices also subscribe into event hubs, where we do some stream processing that pushes it right back to another event hub, and the devices are subscribed into that to take some action on that. And we also find, of course, after you process the data, you want to park it in some sort of a long-term storage. And the presentation and action layer, where you can either send notifications to some of your devices or create dashboards on top of the long-term storage. So this is typically the most canonical event-driven scenario, if you would. What I'd like to do now is to demonstrate some of this. I'd like to welcome the CTO of Aerocrane, Anders Merman, to join me here on stage. Welcome,
Hi.
Anders. And so Aerocrane is actually a medical technology company with the motto of knowledge in every breath. So I'd like Anders to spend a little bit of time here to talk about what their experience with Azure Stream Analytics and what they've done with that.
Thank you, Yuri. Let's see if that works. So, yeah, thanks for having us here. We're actually, as a Microsoft partner, delighted to be invited to present how we very recently been utilizing the new tools of Azure Stream Analytics inside Aerocrane to improve our business processes. Aerocrane is a Swedish company. We work, we sell and make instruments, the one that I had in my hand, globally. We have subsidiaries in the US, China, and Germany, and everywhere else, pretty much, we have distributors. Our current model, yeah, that's right. So let me put you in the context of what we do. We have a unique business idea. We're the only player in the world that actually do these kind of instruments. And that idea is to detect something called FeNO, fractionally exhaled nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is a biomarker. The exhaled nitric oxide is a biomarker for the level of inflammation you have in your upper airways. So in every other context, there are other systems to detect if you have asthmatic problems, like spirometry, but ours is the only one that actually shows the level of inflammation. So is there any asthmatics out here? No? Well, yeah, there's one, yeah. So 8% of the population is prevalent for asthmatics, and as you may know then, if you have asthma, you more or less have a lifelong intake of inhaled corticosteroids as your medication. And that is sometimes of a problem. You don't really know how effective that medicine is, whether or not you're taking your medicine, and there are also other factors that that worsens your asthma, pollution, allergens in the air, etc. So there is a need for actually being able to monitor your level of inflammation so you can avoid having exacerbations and running to your emergency room. So overall, Pheno gives you two, measuring Pheno gives you two things. One is to fine-tune your medication, and the other one is to reduce the number of visits to your hospital. And that is, of course, good for the health economics throughout society. So here we have a map of the potential asthma prescriptions being done in the United States. We have a few percent of this market share right now. So I got an instruction as a CTO of the company recently to start looking at if there would be a way to connect our existing customers to the internet and thereby seeing how these instruments are used. Let me put you into context how it's used. So we sell these instruments just like you would buy a blood glucose meter or a blood pressure meter. And then it comes with a test kit, a very precise electrochemical sensor that is inserted and that lasts for 1 year. And it comes with a pre-programmed number of tests, let's say 1,000 for a year. And then we just ship them to our customers and we lose control of how they use the instruments and when they're running out of tests. So my mission from the board of directors was to find a solution to get much more data into our process. And so I started looking at Microsoft Azure and we started looking at some SQL statements directed to the cloud, and then we kind of ran into this team. And since the summer, we've been part of the private preview of this program. So this is how we have implemented it so far. Over in the white area, you see a typical clinic. We, based on the assumption that there at least would be one computer, a PC, Windows PC in your clinic, our instrument speaks with Bluetooth or USB with that PC. And then we built a small connectivity program that feeds the telemetry data, and there's plenty of them actually. There's a number of sensors inside the instrument up to Azure Event Hub. And then, very elegantly, we were using the new tools, Stream Analytics. We just created a few fairly simple SQL join statements to funnel out to the pieces that we want to catch, the fishes in the river that we want to look at, not all of the data. And as you go forward, we have about 10,000 customers in the world. We definitely need to focus on how we would, in that motion, find the data and the alerts that we need. So that comes down into our own environment, and we're using the combining that with other data that we have in Microsoft Dynamics Navision and Microsoft Dynamics CRM. We're combining historical data with the real-time data to make dashboards. And there are various dashboards for customer support, for the local sales rep, as well as for management. We're a publicly traded company, so we have strict rules on the NASDAQ OMX trade. Stock exchange in Stockholm. So we have also a lot of reporting needs in terms of management.
Very cool. Should we move in to show some demos of what
you've
created?
Yes, let's do that.
So far?
Let's do that. We can leave that. Maybe you can have that.
Right.
And press that one. Yeah, so what you see over here is a dashboard that we've created recently using Power BI. So the Power BI is a tool within Excel, so that is partly feeded with the historical data we get from Navision and our CRM. Here you see our installed base in the United States and Alaska and Hawaii, and then also a system in Barcelona. We have more customers than this, but we started with the United States. And the Power BI, using, you know, I don't know if you know, but Power Queries, we could pull from different streams and from using SQL statements and different databases that we have to combine the real-time with the historical sales data. For example, you see the historical test kit sales per article number. And you can also drill down in this map. It's, you know, it really maps it automatically. So you can drill down on a certain customer, get the information to call up the customer, see how many tests they have remaining. On the right side, you have a number of filters that that could be applied. See where we are in the script. Yeah. So
do you see? Do you focus? You use this dashboard and gain some insights, real-time insights, do you see lost opportunity that you really do need to gain those insights closer to real-time as possible instead of kind of waiting to process that data?
Yes, we do, and that's good that you mentioned that. You know, the hospitals make mistakes using our instruments. You know, maybe we have an uptime of 98%, but 2% fail over a year. There could be misuse of the instruments, there could be other things. And historically, when we had to address those customer issues, support issues, we had to call them, or they had to call us when they had the error. The system just doesn't give any number anymore, and then it's useless. So they have to call us up. We would have to ask them to download the log files from the firmware of the instrument and then email or send it on a USB stick. And it would take a week, or it still does actually, takes a week to maybe resolve the problem. With our systems being connected, we can combine the knowledge base we have on how our instruments behave in relative humidity, in the temperature, and other parameters that we read off. And we can pick up the alerts even before they happen, and hopefully do predictive maintenance.
Very cool.
But you know, it will be the efficiency of our support department would.
Oh yeah, it should be invaluable for them to.
Yes.
For them to get this data. I did notice. So you brought the device with you.
Yeah.
So do we have time to have a little bit of fun with the device?
I hope so. Let me see. So let me quickly explain how this would work.
Okay.
I didn't type in Barcelona, but this is now the instrument, also on the dashboard, but this instrument is now connected in this handle. There is a pressure sensor that is used, that is connected to the firmware of the device, that's connected to one of the laptops here. That laptop speaks with the Event Hub in the United States, actually. And then that Event Hub is fed through the Stream Analytics piece down through Power BI down to a real-time chart.
Azure DB.
Azure DB, and then the real-time chart I need to show you. That's what I forgot.
Well, do you want to switch to
that one? So here is actually another dashboard, which is the real-time dashboard we've put together so far. It shows you the location of the instrument, it shows you the humidity, the temperature of the sensor inside the instrument, and the pressure sensor. So as the pressure sensor is starting to be used, you know, going through the whole round trip of data, we will be able to see that data in near real-time. That's what would be the plan.
That would be great, yes.
But before we do that, let's see if you can manage to do the procedure. The procedure is like this. You inhale through the handle because we need to scrub off the nitric oxide that is in the ambient air here, and then you exhale for 10 seconds at a constant pressure.
All right. I know you gave me a new mouthpiece.
Yeah, so you should.
And I'm going to follow the procedure here. Try that. All right. Inhale, then exhale.
So this is actually a visual incentive that we have built. So anything from a kid to a grown-up would be able to run it. And that didn't work well.
It wasn't
That's
me.
Fine. And anyone would actually, it's not. It's a bit of a gamification, of course. And most people have to try this.
I'm guessing the balloon needed to stay between the lines, and I failed the game.
Yeah. So let's see if that would work.
Do it again.
So over there, we'll do it again.
Ready?
Ready? The sun rises as she inhales. And now I'm switching over to another computer, just looking at this web page. And it didn't show anything.
I think I passed. I see a smiley cloud
on
this
you
other
passed.
Computer.
You managed to do the test.
I managed
But
to
we
go.
Didn't see the real-time data. So what's up with this computer then? What?
Oh, I need to refresh it.
You think so?
Refresh it and try it again.
I just get to play this game over and over again.
You get to play the game over and over.
This is my new favorite game. Have the girl cross the bridge, or cross the...
Okay, try again.
All right.
There you see the inhalation, the negative pressure as it went down, and then you will see now actually in Internet of Things real-time display of the pressure that she has did. And I heard from the sound of the audio incentive that it has succeeded.
Very cool. It did this time, I think, after we had to refresh that little dashboard.
Yeah.
Start showing the data there.
Yeah.
While I was breathing.
Yeah, and as you see, this is not a very simple procedure, so that is one thing that we could think of actually utilizing going forward, is to detect and to track and sort out all this data that we're gathering and see which physicians and which nurses are having a high success rate at the first attempt of their patients and who don't, and maybe give them more training or whatever we would apply.
Very cool. This is very impressive. So would you like to talk a little bit about your collaboration using with the team using Azure Stream Analytics?
Yeah, absolutely. We are very impressed with how quickly this has gone. We embarked on this in July. It was vacation time in Sweden with only 2 part-time system developers. And a lot of help from Microsoft Redmond team and Microsoft Sweden's consultancy services with architects and Power BI experts and whatnot. But still, within only 6 weeks, we've built a solution that we are ready for launch. I think that is really impressive. Another thing that is important and that we notice is that you don't really have to learn anything new. Our system developers didn't have to do that. They simply had to, you know, understand what it is. But basic SQL competence solved all of what you see here.
So definitely sounds like a very low barrier to entry and just the quickness of deployment.
The barrier is important too, because I think the important thing, and that's what you mentioned in the opening speech, is that this really comes out of the box. We didn't have to build all this. If we would have and utilizing our existing software with Navision and CRM and the Excel and our existing incentive program that we built already, so it would have taken us 10 times longer surely if we would have tried to build this alone.
What we'd like to hear. So great. What do you see in the future roadmap for Aerocrane with Azure Stream Analytics?
We are baffled at this time because I didn't think we would actually be able to do Internet of Things so easy that we have done now. We just scratched the surface of what we will start with. And we are starting with getting better sales and getting better customer support. But going forward, starting to read off other telemetric and also medical data, maybe we could start to combine with the pollution rate in a certain district and see how asthma management can go forward.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anders, appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you.
And a very cool device. Switch into.
Yeah, by the way, don't you want to know your value?
Oh, I'd love to know if I'm healthy or not. Yes.
Yeah. So normally, if you're asthmatic, you have a value of, if you're grown up, you have a value over 50. And if you're really healthy, you have a value under 25. And in the area, it's a gray zone. It could be asthmatic. You need other symptoms to really give you a diagnose. Let's see if that works. So you got 5. So you're healthy as a horse.
I'm only 10, by the way, because, you know, if I kind of extrapolate that, it should be under 25.
Yeah, but even a 10-year-old would be healthy on 5.
Awesome. Thank you, Anders. Appreciate it. All right. Let me move into give you a little bit more information, deeper dive into Azure Stream Analytics. So the service is optimized, like I said, it is a fully managed real-time analytics service. Reliability and scale has been key factors that we've really built out of the box. And really, the barrier to entry, we touched on that just a minute ago. What I want to do is touch on showcasing a few features within each one of these things and how we've enabled that. So first, from a real-time analytics perspective, the volume aspect we touched on is critical. So the system, the service is optimized for intaking and processing millions of events per second from devices, apps, and whatnot. And that integration with the highly scalable publisher subscriber model is critical to the piece of the puzzle, which is just seamless. And we'll showcase that to you in a demo of the Stream Analytics service in just a minute here. Easy processing on continuous streams of data, so operators and transformations. Now, when you start thinking about real-time analytics, that time element becomes very critical. So introducing temporal semantics that's just built out of the box, where you can do windowed aggregates and things of that nature, really helps folks to start coding these up and gaining business insights quickly. And correlating streaming with reference data, I touched on this briefly earlier as well. That is a huge powerful thing that we also offer out of the box. So having the reference data, because not all event streams are always going to contain every single piece of data as it's feeding real-time data input in. So optimizing that by combining that with reference data. This piece as well, as I touched on earlier, so hardware acquisition and maintenance, nothing required since it's a cloud service. It bypasses the deployment. The whole deployment process, I really like to give the mantra of click, click, done, and it's really click, 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 done. I think there's like four steps through the Azure portal to get up and running, as easy as that, right? Can get easier. And really expanding your business globally becomes super easy. All the scale factors that we talked about just comes out of the box. As far as the reliability pieces go, we do guarantee event delivery, so we make sure that there's no loss of events, or if events arrive in different orders, we actually help tackle that out of the box. We do state management within the service, so a lot of those capabilities are built for you. And guaranteed business continuity, like I said, the auto recovery as well as failure from, and the 3.9 guarantee for uptime. As far as scale goes, elasticity of the cloud, we'll show in the portal, the ability to scale is just a quick slider. So as your data volume increases, you can actually very quickly go into the job and just use the scale that you want, as well as the cost associated with that. It's a pay-as-you-go cost structure. I'll cover a little bit more details of this in a little bit. But for the most part, one streaming unit, I'll talk about that concept in a second as well. You'll see roughly to run stream analytics about $25 per month, right? This is, again, remember, because streaming queries are long-running, always open queries, as opposed to the batch processing, where the batch query runs and then it's done. Streaming queries are constantly kind of listening and waiting for events to happen. So that's where typically these have been very cost intensive as well, because you need to provision that many resources that are constantly waiting for that volume peak to happen, and then you're capturing that, right? So we've kind of optimized it to be super cheap and only scale and pay for the resources you use. Last but not least, as far as the rapid development, deployment, and development goes, as Anders pointed out, we've significantly decreased the bar to create streaming jobs by just making the solution be a very SQL-like query language to write your transformation. So oftentimes in the demo as well, you'll notice things that used to take lots of real deep lower-level coding has now been up-leveled to very simple coding procedures. And the development and debugging experience through the Azure portal, it's very quick configurations for you to choose and make decisions on how you want to manage out-of-order events, again, user preference, as well as what kind of actions you want to take if an event is late arriving. And monitoring, again, and scheduling is also all well built in. We'll show you this UI screenshot that I've put on the slide. Just viewing the system's performance, it's all real time through the dashboard. So here, this is just a quick snapshot view of an end-to-end architecture. The things that I want to highlight, we've talked about a lot of these already. The event inputs that Azure Stream Analytics handles today, and we've enabled are either through event hubs, are from Azure Blobs, as well as the reference data that we've enabled is from Azure Blobs. The transformation enrich and correlation pieces, we'll cover a little bit more in detail as we show you the demo of what are the different operators and functions that's been enabled to Azure Stream Analytics. And the outputs currently, we support writing outputs out to SQL Azure, Azure Blobs, and back into Event Hubs. So with that, I'd like to invite Dipanjan Manik, who is a program manager at Microsoft, to join me here up on stage to show Azure Stream Analytics in action.
Thank you, Judy. Okay, so let's... have the clicker. So we're going to talk a little about some scenarios here, and we will see, look into the query language. So let's try by counting tweets by topic. This is a fairly common scenario, and you'll see everyone is interested in social analytics data, and they want to fit into Twitter and count counting tweets. It's a very normal thing. So how much effort do you think this should take? How many lines of code do you think if I want to write a streaming application to count tweets? How much effort does it take?
It's like the most popular question to ask, and even though I've said about SQL, your guess needs to be about 500 to 1,000.
Really? That's it. That's all you need. It's just two lines of code. And if you know SQL, it's fairly straightforward. I have grouped by some topic that I'm interested to count on, and I'm grouping it by a window of 5 seconds, and I'm counting the number of tweets I'm seeing. Just two lines of code. So to bring some context, let's talk about a scenario here. Say a company just launched a product, and during the launch, they want to find out what customers are talking about this product. And to do that, they want to get more insights from social feeds, so they tap into Twitter data, and they do some sentiment analysis on top of that. So if I, or if any company wants to do this with some streaming solutions that's available in the market, there are some pain points associated with this. Microsoft just announced like how you can use Storm, which is a very popular open source product, also used for stream processing, right? It's very powerful. You can do a lot of stuff using these things, but you have to write a lot of code with that. And it's not an end-to-end solution. For example, you have to write, use Kafka for ingestion, you know, various other things. It's hard to develop because stream analytics and real-time is associated with time. So if I want to really do some kind of windowing thing, I have to do state management on my own. Many things that can go wrong. So you need expertise, just not coding. And all of this costs you a lot of money and time. So you may end up writing a lot of code, something like this. So what does stream analytics bring to you to solve such kind of problems? So I'll go ahead and switch over to a demo here that it's running. It would be, let's see how the tweets show up in a dashboard. Let me switch. Okay, so this is a simple dashboard created using Power BI. And what we see there is some tweets. It's happening in real time. I'm just tapping into the sample Twitter feed here. The blue bars shows me the count of the tweets in last 5 seconds. And I have, I'm listening on certain keywords here like ALS, Ebola, Microsoft. And you can see people are talking more about Ebola nowadays. It's a scary thing. When I actually started doing this sample, ALS was more in the peaks. And then the trend shifted to Ebola. I can see some negative sentiments around Ebola. So you see all those reds. If it's going down, it's a negative sentiment. If I don't see anything, it's probably neutral sentiment. So the focus is more around how do I do these kind of aggregates and how do I get to solve this? So let's look at the Azure portal where this is running. Okay. So when I go to my Azure portal, I would see a stream analytics service on my left along with many other services. So I have my Contoso Twitter sentiment job that is running here. If I want to go and create a new job, let's see how to explore that out. And I believe Judy mentioned it's just 4 clicks. Let's see if we can really get a job done in 4 clicks. So I go to quick create.
I know at least our quick guide, quick starter guide has 4 things to do.
Yeah. So let's try. I'll create a new job here, my tech ed job. And since we are in Barcelona, I will select West Europe. So we have released it in 2 data centers. One is US Central and West Europe. So whenever you create a job for a particular data center, it would ask you to create a storage account for your monitoring services. If you already have one, it should pick it up. So here in my case, it has already picked up my storage job. So I click create, and in a few seconds, it should show up in the dashboard my job has created. Okay, there you go. So now I got my job created, but it's not started yet. So I go inside my job, and this is the quick start dashboard. Here, with just four steps, I should be able to create a job and deploy it. So I go to inputs first. First, I need to add inputs. Now, imagine if you already have your data, which is coming through Event Hub, which is in this case, all you have to do is configure it in Stream Analytics. So I go to add an input. I can either add a data stream or a reference data. In this case, I choose data stream. And I can select a blob store or an Event Hub. In my case, it would be Event Hub. And here I give it a name. Say input Twitter.
And this would be the name you'd use when you query.
Yes, so data. When I write my query, this is how I reference my source. One good thing here is if I have my resources created using the same subscription, I can go to the drop down and I can select my namespace from here. So Twitter demo is a namespace that I have already created under Service Bus Event Hub, and it will automatically pull all the configurations for Event Hub here. So click next. And I have a few configurations like relations. So I know I'm sending my data in JSON. We do support CSV, JSON, and Avro. So I select that, and I say complete. It's doing testing right now if it's able to connect to the source. Many times, you may not have your source connected. That's fine. It will give you an informational message that it's not connected. If it successfully connects, then it should show that it succeeded, and it's added.
Which is really cool, right? Because I think as you're creating the streaming job, you can validate and debug as you go.
Yep.
At
yep,
the
absolutely.
Different steps.
So now I've created my input. I can go in to my output. And in this case, I would like my data, my aggregated data, to go to a SQL database. So I select SQL here. Today we have only one output for every streaming job that you can create. I can, and the name of that will always be output, so I cannot change that. I can go and select my database name here, and let's see if I can remember the username.
And while you're typing this, another thing to point out too is you saw Dipanjan set up just the data stream as an input. There are options to go back in if he wanted to put other, to combine them with multiple streams. He could have configured additional input sources, including reference data as other inputs for the same job.
Okay, let's see. So it's again trying to connect, and it couldn't reach output. Let's see. I think I named it wrong. So I think it should be Twitter counts.
Ah, that's a pretty looking orange error bar.
Let's see now. Give it a second try. You know, that's the risk you always have when you do something on stage. You can always forget things.
But hey, it's a good thing that the Stream Analytics service pointed it out.
There you go. Now that is successful. So I am able to connect to my output source. I can go to query window now. This is a very nice canvas here where you can type in your query. So do you remember what I named my input source? Oh, I don't want to.
I couldn't quite see it from this angle. Maybe all these people there.
Okay. So let's see. Select star from, what was my name? Twitter input. And then group by. So I want to group by tall ID. Oh, no. This is
Twitter.
Topic.
Somebody
okay,
wants to chat
let
with
me
them.
Make sure I turn this into presentation mode so that I don't get disturbed. Okay, I think now we should be fine. So I group by topic and then I do a tumbling window. So I get some, I can do tap there.
Helper there,
yeah.
Just in case you want to do a typo again. It says, don't do it. Here's how you spell it.
So I do a tumbling window of 5 seconds. Now, something is not right here. It's still showing me those red things. So what am I doing? Let's see. If I hover over the mouse, it says group by clause, supports only scalar columns.
star is not something good. So I can probably print topic here, and I can do a count. Let's see if it likes that. Yeah, all my reds are gone. So I can save this query now. And then I can go to configure, and I can start the job. But I don't want to do that because I already have one running here. Okay, now other things I want to talk about here a little is scale. So this is a job that is reading from a sample Twitter feed. So probably I'm getting 200 events per second. Now imagine if I now connect to a Firehose, which has many times more data. So I want to increase my scale. So I would probably just play around with the slider and increase that. And that's all I need to do. So I could come to configure. Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me just save that. Okay. I come to configure. And here are other things that I can tell my job about. So start output time is one other thing. So if your input has time data, so for example, my event hub may have already data from the past within my retention period. So I can set something, say, start reading from a day back or some few hours back. Then I can start processing those past data as well. Or if I give it job start time, then it will start processing the data from now. When events come in through the internet or through the network, they're expected to come out of order. So events may arrive late. This is pretty common. Now, the question is, how do we deal with these things? If events come out of order, you have two policies that you can configure. You can either say adjust them, which means the time related to these events can be adjusted to the last known timestamp of my of any event that was in my system. Or I could say drop those events. If I want to resist on how out of order event happens, I can set up a time window, like a tolerance window. See, in this case, my events may not arrive more than 30 seconds late because they're coming through Event Hub, and I know for sure they're not gonna be late than 30 seconds. So I can set the time here, and then it will wait for 30 seconds and then start processing the data for every event that comes in. This gives a leeway to my incoming events. There are two things to remember here. One is I'm adding a latency. The higher the number I put there, I'm adding a latency, and of course, I'm also adding memory pressure because we are adding a buffer where we let all the events sit and then we reorder them for you. So switching back to the job that is already running, I can go to the dashboard here. And this gives me also the operational logs. I can go to operational logs and find out what is the life cycle of these events that are happening, like how, when they got started, and you know, debug life-side issues. So this monitoring tells me all the incoming events, how many incoming events I have got, how many outgoings event I have got. So this is a pretty easy way to look at my status. So this has been running for quite some time, and I can see how much data I had been processing. So this was all about a sneak peek into how easily you can set up a job and deploy it. Now, let's take a quick look at the query language. So I switch back. So let's see what this query language can offer us to do. So it's SQL, and you write declarative queries using SQL. So no code compilation required, and it's very easy to author and deploy them. It gives you a unified programming model. So you can query against event streams, against reference data, and also you can tie up machine learning experience to that. So everything in one particular language. You don't have to go to different places and hook up different things together. Temporal semantics. Time, as Judy mentioned, is a very important factor when you do real-time processing. I want to count by something within last 5 minutes or last 1 hour. Typically in SQL or relational database, you say, give me count of everything. So in streaming data, there's no everything. You define small time segments. And doing such kind of things, it becomes very easy here. So our operators, they respect, and most of them use temporal properties. It's like a first-class citizen of the language. And there are a lot of built-in operators and functions. So if you know SQL, they are already you're already familiar with it, like how you use the where clause or how you use joins would be exactly the same as you already know them. So let's go through a few examples. And to do that, I'll talk about a scenario here, a toll booth scenario, and we will base our examples based on this scenario. We do have this lab sessions, which Judy talked about. There you can go and try hands-on with these queries, and they would be also using the same toll booth scenario. So here, we are very familiar to toll stations. Whenever we go to the highway, we see all these toll stations there. Each toll station will have a multiple toll booth. So cars, as they enter, there would be an RFID sensor which would scan the car and get a lot of information out of it. And we pay at the toll booth. When they get out of the toll booth, there's another scan that happens, and we note the time at which they come out. So in this example, we have two streams, an entry data stream and an exit data stream. And we want to ask a few interesting questions out of these streams that are coming in. For example, how do I do projections? So show me all the toll IDs and the vehicle weight in tons. So the weight that I have here is in kilograms. I want to convert them to tons for all the vehicles passing through the toll booth. So how do I write this query statement? So I can see here my stream of data. Time is moving toward the right. I have toll booth ID 1 and 1450 is the weight of the car, Volkswagen Golf coming in. So I simply say select toll ID, vehicle weight divided by 1,000. I can use an alias as tons from entry stream, which is my source name. And I'll get the results like this. So let's try filters. How do I filter out a number of events? So in this example, if I write a statement like this, select model from entry stream where make is VW. Can anyone tell what am I trying to do here?
You're looking for all the vehicles with Volkswagen?
Exactly. So I want to filter out all the models where the make is Volkswagen. So I didn't have to teach this to you. You already know SQL, and you can figure out from the statement itself what it's trying to do. Right. So I do get Golf and Passat out of this. So in the Twitter example, we saw windowing operations. Right, so we support three kinds of windows. A tumbling window is one of them. And with the essence of time, I cannot cover all that's available in the query language. You can go to MSDN and see all the detailed documentations we have over there. But just to give an example of what tumbling window looks like, we have divided time across slices. And each of the slices will have a fixed length, or the window length that we call. They are non-overlapping in nature. And the first window you see has three events. So if I do any aggregates on top of them, like count, I will see the result as three. And the result of every window gets shown at the end of the window. So I will see the result of the first window here. The next window, I will see the result at the end of the window. So the next window tells me a count is two. So this is the kind of tumbling window operations that we do. To relate it with the toll booth example, here is a query which says group it by toll ID and do a tumbling window of 5 minutes and then give me a count. So what am I trying to do here? I am trying to count the number of vehicles passing by every toll booth in 5 minutes.
Very cool.
So it's as simple as that. So we do have a lot of built-in functions and supported types. We have a lot of support for date and time operations, some string functions. We support cast. Imagine like you are having data coming in as CSV, so everything is text, and you want to do some scalar operations on top of that. You could use the cast function and convert it into float or bigint and do those calculations. So I would encourage you to try out our labs and see how this works in action. And
Dipanjan and the rest of the team, all of us are going to be at the instructor-led lab as well. So I do encourage all of you to attend that, where you can play with all types of windowing operations as well, right? If you want to on your own, and you'll have our assistance there. So on a fine Wednesday, the very last session of the day, where everybody's eager to get out and go to that cocktail party, where hopefully you'll come and bombard me with a lot of questions. The big question in all your minds, pricing. So I want to finish off with our thought process right now and how we're planning on pricing this, because we keep saying cheap, 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 low cost. And when you start thinking about long-standing queries running all the time, cost you could think would build up, could build up pretty quickly. So we've priced stream analytics with two variables, volume of data processed and streaming unit. The volume of data processed is pretty straightforward. As you can see the price there, it's super cheap, 1/10 of a cent in US dollars per gigabyte of data processed. The streaming unit is really a unit of compute capacity, right? So ultimately you wanna, what's the compute resources that you wanna allocate for the streaming job that you create? And each streaming unit gives a maximum throughput of about 1 megabytes per second for processing power, and that's about 3.1 cents per hour. So if we do some rough math here for the example that Dipanjan did here, which is just that sample Twitter feeds for which he you saw on the scale page, where he had provisioned and set up one streaming unit for that. Currently, with the Azure Stream Analytics service for public preview, all the pricing is set for 50%. So the math here is doing the 50% pricing calculations for the volume. And again, the volume there assumes that there's constantly 1 megabyte of data coming in and hitting the system, right? Which typically, for those of you familiar with data in motion and events coming in, that's typically not the case, right? Your events are kind of going to be varying, so it'll only be for whatever that varied rate accumulates to be. And then the streaming unit cost, again, with that 1 megabyte per second max throughput, about 38 cents if you do a per day calculation. So ultimately about less than 50 cents per day. Right? So if you ran that query that Dipanjan showed throughout a whole month, Dipanjan would probably be paying about $12.60. And I think if you do the exact math with all the rounded things that our computers can do, it'll be about $12.80 per month. Okay. So with that, I think some of these track resources and the rest of the slides are about go take feedback and definitely play around with the service. We're eager to hear all of your input and definitely cater to your needs, because I think we've worked very hard to lower the barrier to entry, both with ease of use as well as how cheap and how cost effective we made it. But we're all ears when it comes to hearing feedback. So I don't want to hold you all too much longer. We do have a few more minutes, I think, here. So if there are any questions, more than happy to take it, or if we'll be hanging around here, and Anders will be here with us as well. So happy to take any questions. Thank you, everyone. There is a question in the back. I think somebody's driving the microphone.
The question is, if you scale your input data, so throughput, and you produce very granular, low granularity outputs into SQL or blob storage, and you can exceed capacity, throughput capacities of those destinations, what will happen inside of the NRT? Like if you produce too much data, which you want to persist in either SQL or in blob storage?
Is the question, let me repeat the question just to make sure.
So you've got input, right? Streaming in like 1 megabyte per second or whatever. And so then you increase number of processes. Like, well, you showed an example 5, but I hope you can go way beyond that. And you persist the output in SQL, right? SQL, Azure, I guess, right? So SQL, Azure database. And so if you throttle this guy, what will happen to your outputs?
If there's too much input coming in, what will happen to the output?
Yeah, if you want to store, just like SQL Azure has its limits, like throttling limits, blob storage as well.
Okay. So do you want to address
that? Yeah, sure. So let me make sure I understand your question correctly. So you're saying that I may have a lot of data coming in, and I want to channel those data, like the output, to a SQL database, which doesn't have that kind of capacity, right? How would the system behave? So. This is completely how the user needs to plan their pipelines or their jobs. Now, if you have a huge throughput of data that is coming in and you want, and you are also aggregating, usually when you aggregate, the data reduces, right? Now, even if you're aggregate, for example, like if you do perf counters, that can give you a lot of output as well. You may not want to put it on a SQL database. You may want to put it on blobs, which can scale much faster and which has a better capacity. Now, if you still choose SQL as things, it will slow down your pipelines. You won't lose data, but it will slowly progress because we are like going into the internals. We do a pull instead of a push, so you don't really lose it, but it would slow down your pipeline. But the better option would be to choose the right sync there, and I would choose blobs instead of SQL.
Your question touched on the tail end of it, which was from an output perspective. One other thing that we didn't mention, but I'm sure you'll hear about it, Event Hub sessions, is sometimes the input volume, I thought that's where you were going, the input volume gets too high, and then the processing is still processing, and how far back can we go? And there are retention periods built into Azure Event Hub, which I think by default is up to 24 hours, where you can go back and catch up on that data. So for some of the configurations that Dipanjan showed where he said, oh, you can go back in time, it depends on your ingress speed as well and the volume that's coming in. So great question. Others? Yep.
Oh. I get the mic, sorry. question on the DTU, so the the units of throughput. If I have 10 jobs, do I have at least 10 units, or can I group the jobs into one unit, or say, okay, this job has to be one dedicated unit or three dedicated units and group the other jobs into one or something? How's the relationship there?
So if I understand your question, you have 10 jobs, and your question is how many streaming units you would have in that case. Do you have one, or do you have 10? So for every job, you need at least one streaming unit. So you cannot share streaming units between jobs or across jobs. You can add more streaming units to a particular job, but each needs to have at least one.
The way you describe the SQL queries does not explain to us the analytics part of the stream analytics. I mean, you talked about correlations with reference data, and including some kind of machine learning. Not sure exactly how does this happen.
I didn't get your question.
So the analytics parts, so if I hear your question right, as far as completing, when you think about an end-to-end analytics, advanced analytics solution, there are different components to it. The pieces that we talked about is purely just the Azure Stream Analytics part, which is for stream processing. And the other two pieces, or at least I heard one other piece, which was the ML piece, so adding the predictive nature of that. Yesterday, so I want to refer back to the Pier 1 demo. I don't know if all of you folks attended that session, but I encourage you to see the foundation's keynote demo on that, where they actually did a very good job of tying three different services together to really complete that equation, right? So this session was focused primarily on stream analytics, which is why we didn't touch on the other two. But that equation goes something like, if you want the past data analysis for batch processing and orchestration, Azure Data Factory is a service for that. If you want the present data analytics to do analytics and processing on data that's ongoing, is stream analytics. And then the third component to that is Azure ML, which is for future predictive analytics and things of that nature. So I think you'll have to attend three sessions to get that, but I think that's a very valid point. We'll be coming out with solutions that really integrates all these things together to really light up use cases, absolutely. I at least saw one other hand, but maybe we got all the questions. All right, great. Okay. Thank you all for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thank
you. Have a good day.